Certainly good to see everyone that is out this morning. We have visitors with us. I forgot to tell John that Mary, who visits with us pretty regularly, told me last week that she'll be gone this Sunday and next Sunday. She's up at her sister's for the holidays. She wanted everybody to know she wasn't running away. So I appreciate that. She's been visiting with us for some time now. For those of you that weren't here earlier, I'll repeat the mention of the fact that I had some technical difficulties in copying my PowerPoint slides this week. Didn't realize it until I got here, and they were corrupted on my flash drive. So there's no PowerPoint this morning. But as my wife said, I guess you'll just have to do it the old-fashioned way. So we will proceed with that this morning. In the view of many people today that claim to be Christians, the idea of being a Christian and being committed to attending and taking part in church services is not the same thing. One of the world's better known people, but not necessarily noted as a theologian, an entertainer by the name of Justin Bieber responded to a response about him being a Christian with these words: "You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. If you go to Taco Bell, that doesn't make you a taco." Now that is interesting and a little bit humorous, but it does indeed reflect the feeling of a lot of people in this world. The statistics that we can find very easily in today's electronic world would indicate that there are many, many people that share what Justin Bieber just thinks about that. I found some research by a firm named Statistica. They reported in 2021 that 22% of the people who responded to their survey said they attended religious services every week. 9% said, well, they almost attended every week. 11% said they regularly attended about once a month. 25% answered that they seldom attend church services or religious services. And 31% of respondents said that they never attend church. Now that's across a very broad perspective. That would include Muslims and Jews. Another research group called Ignite did a survey among people who identified themselves religiously as Christians. And they compared practices over a period of time. In 1960, 70% of the people that identified themselves as Christians also reported that they regularly attended church services. Last year, that number was 20%. And that same survey found that 28% of those, now that's 28% of the 20%, that said that they were Christians and regularly attended services, also said that since the pandemic had started, they had neither attended a church service or even watched one on television or online. Now, those statistics are basically compiled from a much larger and diverse population than what we would normally think of as our brethren, people that attend churches of Christ. And yet, without statistical numbers, I think we could readily recognize that the experience among local churches of Christ reflects some of these same realities. There are other issues that impact the decline in attendance, particularly attendance among more conservative churches and in churches of Christ, particularly among the young people. And that's not really the main subject of this lesson this morning, But we have to acknowledge it. We are losing young people, but in the studies that have been done about that, most of those respondents indicate that they believe their parents have lost touch with reality. And cite things like our stance against homosexuality, our opposition of the LGBTQ type of movements, our opposition to abortion, and the denial of the climate change propaganda, the social issues of our day. And I have to admit that I would be guilty of all of those, but that's a whole different matter. Maybe we'll need to talk about that more in the future. But right now, we just want to talk about this idea about must Christians go to church? Do the two things go together? And I want to first comment about Justin Bieber's comment. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. If you go to Taco Bell, that doesn't make you a taco. You know, he is right. He is so right. And he is so wrong. First of all, let's talk about how he's right. It is not just attending church or going to church services that makes one a Christian. Even though we've cited statistics that say not as many people go as they used to, and that's pretty evident across our country, it's even more exaggerated in countries in Western Europe, for instance. The sad thing is that many people who are still in that group that are attending church are not attending it because they feel some special devotion to Jesus Christ. When listed as the reasons why people go to church, the top reason is for social reasons. To meet with friends or family reasons. My family goes to church. Therefore, I go with them. Some people do it for business reasons. Now, it's very likely that nobody like that is here, because if you were attending church for business reasons, you'd be finding a place that had a lot more prospects. You know, our number is small. You'd be looking to be in one of the big churches so that you could meet more people for your business purposes. But we would be foolish to think that that doesn't happen in today's world. Some people do it out of habit. I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't do it. And some people do it for entertainment. Now, again, you may say, well, not necessarily here, but you know, there are some of us that still really enjoy a good sermon and enjoy exuberant singing and get a great deal of not only spiritual value out of that, but earthly value. But we can see also in some religious groups that feature rock music and theatrics and things like that, that it could be a very entertaining experience. And those are all reasons why people would go, and none of them have any relationship at all to whether they feel any allegiance to Jesus Christ or not. So, he's right about that. Just because you go doesn't make you a Christian. But here's where he's so wrong. He's wrong because that statement says he sees absolutely no correlation, no connection to being a Christian and meeting with other Christians for worship. And he and multitudes like him, maybe even some of us have had those thoughts. Why am I going? What value is this to me? So what I want to do for just a couple minutes here, it took a long time with my introduction, but what I want to do for just a couple minutes here is, one, look at a couple reasons why there's that disconnect in the religion, in the world, about being a Christian and meeting to assemble with the church. I want to look at that, and then I want to make some other observations, and we'll be done, hopefully shortly, with this. Part of the problem is a misunderstanding of the word church. And the first understanding that is so prevalent in our society is the confusion of the word church and looking at it as to identify a structure rather than the people that are assembled in that structure. And so when people think about, well, do I have to go to church? Do I have to go to this place that is designated as a place for people to assemble to worship? That's the common usage of I am going to church. And I'm not nitpicky about this. I have no problem that we say we need, it's time for us to go to church, when I know full well that you are the church, not this building. So I'm not picking on us using that as an accommodative way to talk about what we're doing. The problem is in the minds of an awful lot of people, going to church, they identify it with the building. They identify it as a part of the structure of life. And some of those that you can read nowadays on the internet, and occasionally even in a religious journal, that say it's not necessary for Christians to go to church, basically are thinking along those lines, or thinking negatively about the church being a place where you would go. And they'll point out, and I'll talk more about this in just a minute, that the English word church is not derived from the Greek. There is no Greek word that you can get church out of. We assign that phrase church to a Greek word, but that's not the word it comes from. Church comes from a Latin word, kurios, which actually means that which is of or belongs to the Lord. But as the lesson goes on, I think you'll see that's a non-issue. Whether you call it church or something else, it's that's not really what the issue is. No, there is no Greek word that is the equivalent of our English word, church. A second problem with this and the idea of connecting to church is that the word church is also used in our English language to designate a religious organization that has its own government, its own structure, its own creed, its own traditions, and those tend to separate it from other similar organizations. And so, in the mind of people, when they say, well, we're going to go to church, are we going to go to a Presbyterian church as compared to a Catholic church or to a Lutheran church? And thus, the way that word just hits in the mind is, it's talking about some political, religious structure of organization that in some way tries to govern or influence one's lives. And some of those are more intrusive on our lives than others. One of the fundamental principles of the Catholic religion is to control your life from the cradle to the grave. You can't do anything without a priest. As soon as you're born, the priest needs to quickly be there to initiate you into the church. And the last thing that's going to happen to your body on earth is they're going to commit it to the grave. And in between those two times, the church is going to be the center of everything. That's where all your sports are going to be played. That's, you think about it, that's where you're going to drink beer and play bingo. Every activity of your life is centered around that organization. And there's some good to that, there's some bad to that. To have some focus on things. Other churches don't exercise that as strongly. But when somebody says, well, I can be a Christian and not go to church, if what they're thinking about is, I don't have to be allied with one of these organizations, now we can see the issue in that. One of the things that is true that's happened in my lifetime is that among us in churches of Christ, that distinction that we don't admit to or do not want to be one of those kind of structures, that we just want to be an independent group of local people, is sometimes being lost. And I think one of the problems that we do have with our young people, although that's not the point of the service, is that they come to think of us as just another denomination, just another one of those organizations and structures, and sometimes they don't like what they view to be the rules of that, so they rebel against the rules and they leave. But neither the identity of the use of that word as a physical building in which we are gathered today, or of some type of political religious organization, neither one of those is the way the Bible uses the word. So that's what's important. The word church in our English Bibles is translated from the Greek word ekklesia. And I know you've all heard that. Most of you have. Ekklesia just simply means the called out. Those who are called to come together. It is not inherently a religious word, although if you are in societies other than England, English-speaking societies, you will see that word. As we traveled in the Caribbean and visited a church in Aruba, there's churches in other parts of Spanish-speaking world, you'll, instead of a sign that says Church of Christ, you may very well see in the form of their language, ecclesia. Here, the ecclesia meet. This is where we assemble. Okay. And that's actually the meaning of the word. And in the Greek language, and even in the Bible, that word is not inherently a religious word. In Acts, the 19th chapter, there's an account of a riot that happens in Ephesus as idol manufacturers and get upset with the Apostle Paul. They stir up a mob against the Christians in Ephesus. And so in Acts 19 and verse 32, it says, "So then some were shouting one thing and some another, for the assembly," that's the word ekklesia, "was in confusion, and the majority did not know for what reason they had come together." So there you have a group of people are together, and they're not even united about why they're there, and they're arguing with each other, and yet that's an assembly. An official interrupts that mob, and interestingly, he says, "This is not the place to do this. We have lawful assemblies. That is, we have a town council." And he says in verse 39, if you want to do anything beyond this, if you want this really settled, you need to settle it in the lawful assembly. That is, the one that's appointed by the government of this city to handle these things. That's the way you need to take care of that. And then verse 41 says, when he got done saying that, he said, and he dismissed the assembly. He said, "You go home." Okay? So the first thing we understand is that all this word means that it comes into our English language as church is that it's people who are called out as a group. And the New Testament uses this word in two ways concerning the church, as we would call it. It's used in the sense of all those who are called out of the world, called out of sin, into salvation under Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, "He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church." So there are those that are put in subjection under Jesus. They are called out to serve him. In the literature I read on the internet among people who are advocating that Christians should not and do not need to be associated with churches, local churches, do not need to assemble with other Christians, that's the main argument they make, is that the church has no boundaries. It's a spiritual thing. And it would be wrong to deny that use of the word, because that's the way the New Testament uses that word. There's a sense in which the church, the called out of God, is a worldwide organization composed of individuals who have given their life to Jesus Christ, and we are in fellowship with them whether we know them or not. And one of us may know them, some others may not. I have preached to, I have sung with, I have engaged in Bible study with, I have eaten with Christians in Africa that none of you have ever met. But they're still the church. And that's true everywhere. But the error of thinking and what is encompassed in what Justin Bieber and a lot of the actual religious writers that are proposing these things, particularly in internet articles, is to say that is the only way in which the Bible speaks of the church is absolutely just not so. Scripture also speaks and uses that word ecclesia of Christians who are in a specific location that are assembled together there in that location for the purpose of serving and worshiping God. Paul wrote the book of Galatians, Galatians 1 and verse 2, to the churches, plural, of Galatia. Galatia was a region, like a state. And he says, I'm writing to all the churches there. In the book of Revelation, John wrote seven letters to seven different churches that were physical locations in the province of Asia. So inherent in the word translated church is the idea that those who constitute the church, when are given opportunity and when they are located around each other, they will assemble. And as I said earlier, that's why when people say, well, the word church is not out of the Greek, that's right. It's actually out of the Latin. And a lot of people don't know the history of our English Bibles, but the Greek Bible, New Testament, was translated into Latin in the 7th century. It's called the Vulgate. And then our English translation, starting with the King James Bible, the Vulgate was translated back into Greek, and that's the basis of what is used for the King James Bible. Now, more modern versions have other Greek manuscripts that have been discovered in the last 200 years to help create the text from which they are translated. But all that tells me is the word church, which comes from the Latin, was used in Latin in the place of ecclesia, and so I really don't have any problem with the use of the word church, because it means those who are assembled by God. That's the meaning of it. To distinguish it from the civil meeting of Acts 19. You can go tomorrow to a city council meeting if you so choose. You are assembling, but that's not the church, but it is an assembly. In fact, some of the largest assemblies that we have in our country take place later this afternoon in football stadiums. They are assemblies, but they are not the church. They are not the spiritual assembly. So the important question then of the study is, do the scriptures require that members of the church assemble? And the articles I was reading on the internet universally said no. No, you don't have to. There's no specific New Testament command for Christians to go to church. That's a direct quote. And I'm going to tell you that's technically true. If you want to find the word that says you must go to church, then they're technically correct about that. But that is a misleading concept and an erroneous conclusion. First of all, as we've just talked about the meaning of the word, the concept of assembling is inherent in the word. That's what it means. And it's also obvious that while there's no positive, you must go to church command, There is certainly a warning in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, which way does it have to be said? You must or don't not do it. Don't forsake it. It's an important part of what it is. But there's one other point, and then we'll quickly close, that I want to point out to you, and that is the perspective from which the word is used. You know, the word ecclesia concerning the church is not used that many times in the New Testament. But here's the interesting concept. The Greek word ecclesia focuses on the fact that the scriptures show that the church is the called out of God. It is God that calls us. In the invitation in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter encourages them to come, and it said that they did as many as the Lord called. They accepted the Lord's calling. Here's the interesting thing. Another word is used more often in Scripture of the church, but we don't recognize it. Now, we'll recognize the word. When I tell you the word, you're going to recognize it. But we don't think of it in relationship to this question of should we assemble. That other word is the Greek word synagogue. Now, you recognize it because in the Gospels, the Jews had synagogues. Jesus went and taught in the synagogue. The synagogues originated in Jewish culture during the Babylonian captivity. The temple had been destroyed, and the captives would get together by the river or wherever they could find a place and read and study the Old Testament scripture together, the faithful ones. We've talked about them a lot in the Amos class and the Isaiah class this morning. And so it became a place where people came together to read Scripture, to exhort one another from Scripture, from sing, and to pray together. Truth of the matter is, what we often talk about with the church in the five items of worship all took place in the synagogue in Jesus' day. But the significance of that is while ecclesia means to call out, God has called you, the word synagogue means gather together. So the synagogue in Jewish culture was a place for Jews who believed in God and believed in the law could gather together to share that experience. And that is the word that is most frequently used in the New Testament to talk about us assembling together. God calls us to assemble. We respond by gathering together. In fact, that's the word that's used in Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the gathering together for the point of edification of one another. So one says, you can be a Christian and you don't ever have to attend church. Well, how are you the called out if you don't ever gather? The two words are used of the same group of people. And Hebrews 10:25 is not unique. James 2 and verse 2, if a man comes into your assembly, into your gathering, with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes. It's not a sermon on James 2, but James 2 is talking about how we should treat people when they come into our gathering. Well, that's a moot question if we aren't supposed to ever gather. The fact that God expects us to treat people a certain way when we're together means He expects us to be together. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, when you gather together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Edification means building one another up. How do we do that if we aren't ever gathered together? Acts 14:27. When they had arrived and gathered the church together. There, both words are used in the same verse. We gathered the assembly together. They began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Talking about Paul and Barnabas meeting with the church at Jerusalem to tell them about the conversion of the Gentiles in Antioch. And of course, the one that you might have expected, Acts 20 and verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight, and there were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together. It requires gathering. And why is this so important? I'm going to tell you two things. One, because we've already looked and said the world is tending away from that. Even the religious world, and we can recognize it. And two, because of the changes of the pandemic. There are people who have stopped assembling, and they feel that by watching an online service or watching something on television, that will meet their needs. But the truth of the matter is that's not gathering. And I saw this meme on Facebook this week, and I thought, and I already had this sermon planned, it says, watching church on television is like watching a Christmas log on television. It may look pretty, but you don't feel the warmth. Now, we fail in many ways, brethren. We don't always treat each other the way we should. There's lots of problems when you get sinful human beings together in the place where they're supposed to be leaving that behind and encouraging one another to go to heaven. But the truth of the matter is that that's what God designed this all for. It's so that we could help one another get to the place in our lives where we need to be. Well, I've used my time. And so what we need to recognize is, yes, just coming to church does not make one a Christian. And I will add that the realities of life are such that there are Christians who may have the desire to assemble and who are physically unable to do so. I recognize the reality of people being shut in, of people being sick. And certainly there's some value to things like online sermons and even viewing congregational worship services if they have the ability to put them online. But those things are never an adequate substitute for the ability to come together and to encourage one another unto love and good works. The fact is, the New Testament connects being a Christian with gathering together with other Christians so that we may strengthen one another, so that we could worship and serve God together. Family togetherness is a very valuable aspect of the function of the local church. So I think we should encourage all Christians to assemble regularly. We need to gather ourselves together, and we need to worship and praise God together. It's important to be a part of that church. And there may be some here this morning who aren't. And we need to encourage you to see value in what we do. And particularly because it's directed towards God and because God has asked us to do it. Let us seek to get the benefits out of that. And if you've never become a Christian, if you've never been involved regularly with assembling with other Christians, we would encourage you to do that. If there's some way you need to respond this morning, we do invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.